Okay, we're picking up the Gemara on Yud Zayin Amud Beis. We're three lines from the bottom of the Tashma. So the Gemara had earlier mentioned a machlokas Rabba and Rav. When you have a whole middle strip of pasul schach in the middle of your sukkah, is it for tfachim this year or for amos this year that's going to pasul it? And then the Gemara had really machlokas Rabba and Rav, and the Gemara just changed it to machlokas Shmuel and Rav. And then the Gemara had three proofs. So we discussed two of them yesterday's daf. So now we're up to the third proof of Tashma that we're going to reproof, maybe that it's four amos as opposed to four tefachim. So what's this proof? So again, three lines at the bottom. Tashma, sikicha bin isarm shel eres sheish behen arba. If someone covered the sukkah with boards of cedar that had a width of four tefachim, divrei kol psula, everyone is going to agree that the sukkah is going to be invalid. Ein behen arba, however, if the boards do not have a width of four tefachim, Rabbi Meir posel, Rabbi Yehuda machsher. Rabbi Meir says that the sukkah is going to be pasul, and Rabbi Yehuda says that it's going to be kasher. The Gemara earlier mentioned on Daf Yadalad, we discussed this Gemara. The Gemara said that this brisa is going to go well with Shmuel, that the Machlokas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda applies only to boards less than 4 Tefachim, but if they're more than 4 Tefachim, they're for sure going to be puzzle. That is what we mentioned on Yadalad. So now the Gemara is just bringing us up as a Raya for Rav, as we're going to see in a moment. Umod Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir says, Rabbi Meir agrees, that if the in between each board there's a space equal to that width of the board, that you can put psal. We mentioned psal is a literally word from of think waste coming out of it, like psul and goron v'yekev, which means it's kosher schach. So this psal you could put between the boards uksher, and then the sukkah is going to be kosher. So now the Gemara is going to flesh out the question on Shmuel Bishlam Laman Damar Be'emta Be'minatad Barbamo. So this is going to be understandable according to our version, which we had as Rav that understood that when the schach is in the middle or on the side, doesn't matter, you have a length of four amos that'll pasul it, pasul the sukkah. Mishum hachik shir. This is why the sukkah is going to be kosher in this case, because each board is narrower than the width of four amos required to pasul sukkah. Since they're separated from each other by kosher schach, they can't combine. They're not going to be combining to a shir for amos because you have a hefsek in between it. You have a different kosher material between it. So therefore, these boards are not going to pasul the schach. However, according to Shmuel in our version that said, that Shmuel said that four tefachim wide is going to pasul the sukkah, am I sure? So why is the sukkah going to be kosher? One four tefach wide board should pasul the sukkah and gansin, it should be totally pasul. So any one of these boards is going to be beyond dofen akuma, and therefore it's going to be a problem because it's in the middle. So the Gemara says, how is Shmuel going to answer this? Amar Rav Huna Brid Rav Yeshua, halcha b'sukkah de luchazia el l'shmona mitzumtem esaskin. And here we're dealing with a sukkah that has a width of exactly 8 amos. V'yohiv neser pesel, uneser pesel, uneser pesel mahay giso. We're discussing where he put a board and then kasher schach, a board and kasher schach, and a board and kasher schach on the side of the sukkah. V'neser pesel, v'neser pesel, v'neser pesel mahay giso. And also on the other side, talking about exactly 8 amos, you put a board and then kasher schach, a board and kasher schach, a board and kasher schach, a board and kasher schach on the other side. Dehavu lehu shnei psalim be'emsa. Because when you do that on both sides, what comes out, there's going to be two connecting strips of kasher schach in the middle, ve'ika hechsher sukkah b'emsa, and they're going to be kasher sukkah in the middle. So if you have a picture, just helpful, basically each neser is four amos divided by each one, and then each alternating between the kasher and pasul schach, and then if you have a picture in the middle, you'll have the minimum shear of 8 tefachim as a kasher sukkah in the middle. That is the understanding over here. Even though, again, the boards are pasul schach, they're not going to pasul the middle area between the boards because of dofen akuma. It's put as the wall itself, because we're talking about ein amos sukkah exactly. So you can do dofen akuma to the four amos in the middle, dofen akuma on the other side to the four amos in the middle, and you have a kasher sukkah in the middle. That is what the Gemara is saying over here, and therefore these boards are viewed as part of the wall itself, and therefore it's going to be kosher. Rashi just points out that you would not be able to sleep under the board, the puzzle boards, in this circumstance. Other Rishonim rule that no, you're allowed to sleep under not only just not under the boards, they're even more machmir, that only under the middle area, only the middle area is kosher according to them. The 8 tefachim area in the middle, that's only your only kosher part of the sukkah. The 4 tefachim middle parts of strips of kosher schach, according to these, are more machmir than Rashi, then that would be, that according to them, that would be also pasul. Okay, that's the Shita Miri. Tosos quote such a there that would be the case, that only the middle area in this type of sukkah would you be able to sit in. Now the Gemara continues. So now the Gemara says, Amar Abaya. Abaya says, Avir Shlosha Basukha Gedola. If there is open space of three tefachim in the schach of a large sukkah, meaning a large sukkah is defined as something more than the minimum share of Zion by Zion, of seven by seven tefachim, Umiyoto Bein Bekanim Bein Beshiputim. So you have an issue because you have three tefachim in the middle of your sukkah, which is going to passel it. So what do? You put in sticks, which is kasher schach, or you're putting in shiputim, like the spits of pasul schach. This is pasul schach. So havimu, it's still going to be a miut, a reduction. You've reduced the shear of the gap of three tefachim, and therefore you can now use lavud. The minimum width we mentioned is the issue is going to be four tefachim. So if these things are mentioned, if they're placed in there with regards to pasul schach, that is going to be a better situation than having just open airspace. However, besukah ktana, the space is three tefachim and a small sukkah, bekanim have a miut. So then when you use kasher schach, obviously, then it should be okay, because your gap is now less than three tefachim. However, b'shipudim lavim it, when it regards to the small one, it's not going to be valid because it's still going to be pasul, because neither the open space or the area of the pasul schach is on in its own going to be enough to pasul the sukkah. But still, you are still going to have over here a case where the gap is going to combine together to make the three tefachim space that is going to be problematic. The valid schach doesn't have the zayin al zayin tefachim. The implication of Rashi is that the sukkah is going to be puzzled only when the open space is going to be puzzled when mitzad that they're next to each other. If they're separated by kasher schach, each would be viewed independently and would be kasher. That's a shaila, though. That's what Rashi seems to imply. But it's not so clear in other shulim that would be the case. But either way, that's what the Gemara mentions over here. Now the Gemara continues. The Gemara says that v'hani milei min atzad, that this halacha is only with regards to if the gap is on the side of the wall of Al-Ba'emsa, but with regards to a gap in the middle of a sukkah, pligi bar ravacha ravina. That's a machlokas of different amoraim, ravacha and ravina. Chad amar yesh lavud b'emtza. The one says that we can apply the halacha of lavud, that less than three tefachim is considered as if it's closed, even in the middle of a sukkah. So if you have less than three tefachim in the middle of a sukkah, that's okay. Chad amar ein lavud b'emtza. And the other manta amar says that there is no concept of lavud in the middle of a sukkah. Why is that? Because we have halacha l'moshe b'sinai in context of the walls, and we don't see that such a concept exists to the schach itself, only in the middle, only on the side, well, only when it comes to the, if it's the schach doesn't reach the walls. Within three tefachim, then we can assume it goes up to the walls. But where do we see mechitesi? Where do we know that it should apply in the middle? So the Gemara now says, my time demand our marish lavud b'amtza. What's the reasoning of the one that says we apply the lach of lavud in the middle? So he brings our proof from the Braisa. The Braisa says, "Tana kora hayotze mekotel ze." If you have a korah, we know, we should remind ourselves, we learned Maseches Erev, we had a lot of korahs. Korahs are the crossbeams. We needed either a lechi, the side post, or the korah. In a case of a mavoi, which is something which was closed off on three sides and opened one side into Rosh Hashanah, since it looked like you're carrying Rosh Hashanah, the Rabbanan require a korah or a lechi to be placed there to mark the end of the mavoi, so you have a heker, and then also the shituvim advaz, you also have to have the challah together. So, but here where the crossbeam is going from one side of the mavoi to the across the entrance, right? But however, it doesn't reach the opposite wall of the mavoi. Meaning it doesn't reach all the way at the other end. So that halacha is not going to be the raya, but this second point is the shekhan shtekros. If you have two korahs, they're coming again with pictures, very helpful. Maro Silk had wonderful pictures of this, that you have one wall coming from one side and one wall coming from the other side, but they don't reach each other, yet the gap in the middle is less than three tefachim, that if you have less than three tefachim, we see that we would apply the lacha of lavud, and therefore you can assume that you don't need to put another korah there, even though they don't reach each other. However, shlosha, if the gap is three tefachim or more, then tzarech lavi korah acheres, and you would need to bring another korah, because this is too wide, it's considered a real pirtz, and you don't have a valid crossbeam with regards to your mavoi over here. So this is seemingly a very good proof from the Braisa that we do apply lavud in the middle of your, here is not a schach, here is the korah, but still we should still definitely apply lavud in the middle of the whatever we're discussing. So in the middle of a sukkah, we should apply the halacha. So it's so much so that the Gemara of idach. So meaning the one who holds that the brisa is doesn't hold lavud with the b'emtza, how is he going to deal with this brisa? The brisa seems to be fairish that we do apply lavud in the middle. So the Gemara says no. Shanei korah derabanan. The whole concept of a korah, the whole concept of a crossbeam, the whole concept of a mavoi, as we mentioned, is only derabanan. Mid'ar reisa. This is Rosh Hashayachid. This whole area is a is not Rosh Hashanah. It's not a place of public domain. It's a private domain because it really is closed on three sides. I mean, midaraisa, it's totally fine. So for sure, you are allowed to carry midaraisa. It's a chumrah derabanan that you have to put a lechi or korah. So there, they're going to be makil to allow you to have the halacha of lavud. When it comes to sukkah, which is a mitzvah deoraisa, and therefore we don't know how the halacha of Moshe Messina was transmitted that it should be in the middle, that you should have lavud in the middle. Mehechitesu. Where do I know that? So therefore, that is the chiluk. So now the Gemara is going to explain, what about the other man da'amar? What's the source for the other man da'amar that says that we don't see love of them? So what is the source for the one who says that we don't apply love in the middle, only next to a wall, but not in the middle of the wall, not in the middle of a schach, rather? This time, because we learn in the Mishnah in all of us tells us, if you have a ruba shebaitz upasech batefach, if you have a case where it's like an opening in your house, similar to like a skylight, in a house that has an opening of a tefach. So tuma bias, if there is a tuma, it's a dead body, or more like a zayis min ames, in the house, which is metame ba'ol, kulo tame. So all of the house is going to become tame. However, mashik and agaruga tahor, what is exactly directly under the skylight is going to be tahor, because the skylight is going to be, it's not considered under the same ohel. It has an opening of a tefach, and therefore it goes through the sky, and therefore it's considered something else. So anything that's directly under that skylight and not protruding any further, it has to be less than that tefach space. And if you have a small little kli in that area, then it would not be tame. So the Gemara says tuma keneged aruba. So a second case, though, if the tuma is in the opposite, directly under the skylight, so then what's going to be the halacha? Kol habayis kulo tahor. The whole house is entirely tahor, because we assume that the tuma is boka belas boka. It goes up and it goes through the tahor area, because it goes through the roof. It goes through the emptiest part of the roof, because it's directly under the skylight area. So therefore, the tuma is not going to be there. So now the Mishnah just mentions ein baruba b'seach tefach. Even if the skylight doesn't have an opening of a tefach, but it's an opening there, tuma b'bayis, and you have a tuma in the house, keneged aruba tahor. Anything which is directly opposite and under the skylight is going to be tahor. Everything else in the house is going to be tamei. Tuma keneged aruba. But if the tuma is directly under the skylight, kol habayis kulo tahor. Again, because even if it's less than a tefach, this is a big chiddush in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is telling us that even if it's less than a tefach, that's a whole shaila. Stylistically, why don't I just mention this part of the Mishnah? I mention the part. Okay, the Rishonim deal with that a little bit. The Tosos Rashi a little bit addressed to why is it stylistically the Mishnah is mentioned like this. But either way, that's what comes out of this Mishnah. And we see the halacha of lavud applies to a gap that is even as the halacha of lavud rather does not. Sorry, the halacha of over here we're bringing a raya that we see that the halacha of lavud does not apply to a gap which is not connected to a wall, because it's in the middle of the house. If there was a halacha of lavud, it would be as if the whole roof is enclosed. So well, am I? We see that there's something in the middle of a house, the halacha of lavud doesn't apply. That's very clear. So the Gemara says, oh, this is also a very good proof of itach. So the one who says that we don't have lavud in the middle of that we do have lavud rather in the middle of a sukkah, how is he going to answer this proof? This is a very good raya from Alos, the halacha of Tumah Vitara, that we do say that we don't say lavud in the middle of the house, because if we said lavud again, we would say that the halacha should be that the house is viewed as closed. So that's all shaila in the achronim, whether we say lavud l'chumra. Like here, you'd be saying, it seems to be a proof from the Gemara that had not been for this issue, we would have said lavud l'chumra. Lavud l'chumra means that, can we assume that the lavud here to make your sukkah kasher, we say with ibada, that's what clearly we say, but do we say lavud l'chumra that we're here, we're being more machmir, we're assuming that the whole house should be closed and everything inside the house, even what was under the skylight, should be considered tame. So this seems to be a very good proof from this mission that we would say lavud l'chumra. That's a whole shaila in the achronim. Okay, but not to get there right now so much, but that's a very interesting proof. But again, so what's the avidah? What's the other man d'amar who says that we don't apply lavud to the middle of your sukkah? What is he going to say to this halacha? To what he does say that we do say lavud. How is he going to explain this? So he's going to say shani hilchos tuma da'achin mirlu. What do you mean? The halachas of tumah vetara are completely different. This is specific halacha of Moshe Messina with regards to tumah vetara that we don't have the halacha of lavud. When it comes to the halacha of Moshe Messina by hilchos sukkah, we would say that there is lavud. And it is interesting. Rashi implies that the halacha of lavud does work in other aspects of Hilchos Tumah Vetara. However, Tosfos and Erevin say that the lava doesn't apply at all in regards to Hilchos Tumah. With regards to any Bein Lechum or Bein Lekula, we don't apply the lachas of lava, don't apply by Hilchos Tumah Vetara with regards to Oel. That is the opinion of Tosfos in Erevin. Okay, that's Machlokas Rashi Tosfos. Now the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, Darash Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai, Rabbi Yehuda Bilai was giving a shiur once, and he said, Bayit Shenifchas V'sika Chagabav, if you have a house that the roof was broken in, like it fell in, and an owner pays schach over the opening which had caved in, then the sukkah is going to be kshir. The sukkah is going to be kosher. This is very similar to what we said, mentioned on the Anya Zarim Alav. So the Gemara says, Amar Lefana Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yosef said to him, Rabbi Parish, can you explain further? Can you explain, clarify why, what exactly are the details of what you're saying? Kach pirish Abba, because this is how my father explained this halacha, arba amos psula, that if the distance between the schach kasher and the wall is 4 amos, then the sukkah is going to be pasul. Pachos arba amos kshera, but if it's less than 4 amos, it's going to be kasher. As we mentioned in the Mishnah, that is, this is halacha of Dofan Akuma. So the Gemara says, just a similar lashon, Darash Rabbi Yehuda bar Ilai, Rabbi Yehuda bar Ilai was giving a shir once, Avrumi Sharia. Avruma is a specific type of a small fish. It's going to be kosher. That we know is kosher. So what's the chiddush over here? That generally Rashi points out, it was hard to distinguish between the avruma, which is kosher, to other small fish which don't have the two simanim that make a fish kosher. So Rabbi Yehuda is being a mechadish over here. He's teaching you that if you catch an avruma, you add a group of avruma together. You don't have to be concerned that non-kosher fish are mixed in and they look similar. You can assume it's just the avruma fish which is kosher. I'm going to find Rabbi Yossi. This is why we're mentioning this halacha, even not regards to sukkah, but regards to fish. But we're mentioning it because of similar lashon. Rabbi Pirish, can you explain what exactly you're mentioning over here? Kach Amar Abba, this is what my father said. Shalamakom ploni asura, the avruma of a certain place are forbidden because they're similar to non-kosher fish. However, shamakam ploni mutaris, but the avruma in a place which don't have the non-kosher fish growing in that river, apparently, then it would be kosher. So the Gemara says, kihad barbaya, this is similar to what Abaya had once said. Hai tzachanta devav nahara sharia. The tzachanta from the river of Bav, that was the name of a place, Bav, is going to be kosher because the non-kosher fish are not in that river. So the Gemara wants to know, why did Abaya say that this place doesn't have the non-kosher fish? My tama. What's the reason the non-kosher fish aren't there in the river of Bav, where Abaya said it? Ilim mishum de rafya maya. If you're going to say that the water flows very fast, it's a very strong current. But and you're going to say that a non-kosher fish, because they don't have the spinal cord, then it's not going to be able to survive in this river. And Mara says, but that's Matzias. Just look around. We do see that the fish are able to survive even in the strong current. So you can't assume that they're not able to live in that strong current. They are able to live in that strong current. So that can't be the reason why it's a problem. So the Gemara says, "Ela mishum de milcha maya." Rather, it's because the water of the river apparently is salty. V'hai dag tamai kevin de leisle klife lamate kai. That since the non-kosher fish has no scales, one of the simanim, right, fins and scales, so then it can't survive in this water. What do you mean? Look at the mitzvahs. Look at the fact that you can survive in the salty water. So the Gemara says, "Ela mishum de lo marbe tenayo dag tamai," because apparently the Bav is different because it doesn't, this type of sand which was growing in this area is not conducive to this non-kosher fish growing there. So the Gemara now says, Amar Ravina. Ravina says that things change, the Metzias change. Ina the Shalchin Nar Isan and Nar Gamda Lahasa Masira. When the Nachar of Isan and Nachar of Gamda, they flow into this river, apparently that creates now the non-kosher fish were able to to swim in there, and therefore there could be reason for confusion, and you could get mixed up and have your non-kosher you're not kosher fish in there. We see a very positive thing. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi was asking Rabbi Perish, please explain further. I don't understand it. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, "Lo baishan lo meid." When a person's out of shir and you don't understand something, don't be afraid to ask the Rav a question. Don't be afraid, even if it may sound silly or may sound, you just don't understand something. Always try to get clarification. Always try to understand the clarification. We learn lo baishan lo meid here. Even Big Talmid Chachamim say, "Like, I don't understand. Can you please explain further so I can get it a little bit more?" It's a very big thing when you're in a shir. I think it's nice to ask questions. Don't get too off topic, but if it's just a simple understanding, you don't understand what the Rav was saying, very important. Ask him for clarification. If not before the shir, not during the shir, then for sure go up to him after. Say, "I understand what you just said, X, Y, and Z." A very important concept here. Okay, now the Gemara says Itmar. So we learn on Yudzayin Amud Aleph, when it comes to a sukkah that had the achasadra, when you had the porches around surrounding it on three sides, and then the courtyard. So we're going to go back to that halacha. We learn on Yudzayin on previous daf. Now we're going to learn over here. Sikach agabe achasadra sheish ba pitzmin. If someone placed chach on a porch that had columns in front of it, and therefore you had each of them was less than three tefachim, so then kshira. Then you spread it across the courtyard, leaning on the edge of each porch. That's going to be kasher, because you have lavud, you have less than three tefachim, and since they're so close to each other, we're able to apply the lach of lavud. However, she'in lapitzman, if they don't have these columns, Abaya amar kshira. Abaya still says that it's good. You don't even need those columns. Those columns as walls, according to Abaya, you don't need them. It seems to be beferish against the Mishnah. The Gemara is going to get to that later. Tomorrow's daf, the test will ask that question in Abaya. But right now, Abaya says it is kasher. So what is the reasoning? So Abaya, Amar kasher. Why does Abaya say that it's kasher? Says the Gemara, because Arminan pisikra yored v'sosim. Because we say that the edge of the roof extends downwards and seals. We learned this halacha with regards to Hilchos Erevin. We mentioned it a few times in Hilchos Sukkah so far. Abaya is of the opinion that you're allowed to view the porch roof as extending. The edge of the porch has to be a tefach thick. That's very important. It has to be a tefach thick. And the beams of each porch, they can be viewed as extending downwards. It's similar to halacha of gerachas mechitza, that the halacha is that we can view that the mechitza, the top of the sukkah, the top of these puzzles, this gag over here, is going to go down as a wall. And we're using this as the wall, and that is the concept of pisik riyot associates. You don't even really need a wall, according to Abaye, you just need a tefach thick roof. And Rava Amar Psula, Rava says that it's possible. Lo min pisik riyot associates. So we don't say this halacha, we don't explain this halacha. The Gemara is going to get on to tomorrow's daf. We're going to see why Rava disagreed with Abaye. So Amar le Rava la Abaye. So Rava has a question on Abaye. Ledidach, according to you, says Rava, according to you, Abaye, meaning Rava is asking Abaye, the Amar Pesik Riyot V'Susim, we say that we do say that the edge of the roof goes downwards when you have a tefach thick roof, afilo hefchis dofen emtzai, then even if the middle wall of the sukkah is going to be opening, if it literally hefchis is, you made it smaller, meaning it's non-existent, so the sukkah is just is totally open on both sides, the sukkah should be kosher because we could say Pesik Riyot V'Susim on all four sides, you'll have four walls according to you. You have, again, according to this situation where you only have two walls according to Rava, and you're going to say that even that case is going to be kosher. Lechora, it can't be that this is going to be. It's completely open. How can you tell me that this is going to be kosher? So says the Gemara. Amar Leis, Rabbi says, no, I'll agree with you. That case is not going to be kosher. Modina lach behedya. I'm going to agree with you in this case of the sukkah that dehavile kemavay mefulash, because it's like an open alleyway. An open alleyway we know is open on both ends, and people are able to walk from one to the other. You can't tell me pisik yord v'sosim in the fact that people are going to walk back and forth. If something is open on both ends, people are going to walk through it. If we're walking through it, then halachic, you can't say pisik riyot v'susim. Why are you able to say pisik riyot v'susim when you have three walls? Because if I have three walls, then people aren't walking through there anyway, because it's closed on one side. So then it's halachically, it's valid to say pisik riyot v'susim for that other wall. So then I understand it. But here, when it's open on both sides, says the Abaye, I'm going to agree with you. Since you're walking back and forth, you don't say the halacha of pisik riyot v'susim. Okay, now the Gemara continues, a similar machlokas between Abaye and Rava is seemingly a machlokas Rav and Shmuel, to which the Gemara asks that. Lema, Abaye and Rava, look to the Rav and Shmuel, come if we assume that Abaye and Rava are disagreeing with a previous machlokas Rav and Shmuel. We've asked that a lot of times, we say Lema ketanaim. Here, it's not a full-fledged question, like, is it possible that we're, but usually it will be rejected, this Lema. Usually Lema is a suggestion where we're going to reject it also, to assume that both are going to say this halacha. And you're also going to reject it. The Itmar, when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, with regards to carrying, Achasadr Bivika, if you have a case of an open tent, like on all four sides, just a tent with four poles, and it's totally open with no walls whatsoever. So, but you have a tefach thick roof. So if you have tefach thick roof, but it's in a totally open area, so an open field, so that's machlokos of your Rav Amar Mutil Tata Bakulo. You're allowed to carry throughout this throughout this open tent, because the Arminan Pisik Riyot V'Susim, because we assume that the edge of the roof goes downwards and it covers it up. Even though it has no walls, we can assume that the walls are halachically extending downwards and going down. So therefore, it's considered a Rishus Yachid, and this area is considered a Rishus Yachid, and you're allowed to carry it even if it's in an open field, which generally is considered it's going to be a problem of carrying in a carmelis. Shmuel Amar Ein Metaltin Ba Ela Ba Arba Amos. But Shmuel says that one is not allowed to carry it except within four Amos, when you're not allowed to carry within this open tent. To Lomir and Pisik Riyot V'Susim, we don't say this halacha of Pisik Riyot V'Susim, that the roof, the edge of the roof is going to extend downwards and seal underneath. Therefore, the covered area is not considered enclosed, and it's usher to carry. So we're assuming right now that generally Shmuel does accept the halacha of Pisik Riyot V'Susim, but here he says that the area without actual walls can't be considered a closed basis on the Pisik Riyot alone. So that would be with regards to only maybe an open field. Now, we have no walls at all. He would agree that if you have some sort of structure with at least one real wall, then you can. Rashi there in Erevin told us that he can use the halacha of Pisik Riyot V'Susim. So that's what the Gemara is pointing out over here, that seemingly Rav and Shmuel are machlokes between Abaye and Rava, because the issue is whether or not we would say an area without any walls is it be considered a Pisik Riyot V'Susim. Is that enough to assume that the halacha walls are going to go down? Rav was saying that the tent is considered an area that's closed in, and it's okay. He's going to agree with Abaye, who says that the sukkah is going to be enclosed. However, Shmuel holds that it's not going to be valid. He, lechora, is going to hold, like Rava, that the sukkah is going to be invalid as well. He said Shmuel is going to hold like Rava. That is seemingly seemingly how the Gemara is going to mention it. So now the Gemara says, no, you don't have to assume like that. The Gemara says, Ali ba de Shmuel kuliyama lo pligi. With regards to the lacha of, with regards to Shmuel's shita, meaning even Abaye and Rav are going to agree that the sukkah is going to, the sukkah is going to be pasal, as Rava says, meaning that over here, the Gemara was understanding that both Abaye and Rava are going to agree that one of the early members disagree with him. The Gemara is suggesting now that only Abaye has to say that Shmuel is going to reject his shita. Rava is able to argue that both Rav and Shmuel are going to be within his shita. That's what the Gemara is suggesting right now, that we can assume that Rava is going to say that Rav and Shmuel is going to agree with his shita. So that the Gemara is fleshing out. The Shmuel, Abaye is going to have to concede that he argues with him. Well, pligi. Kipligi, when are they arguing? By Rava, Aliba de Rav. With regards to the Shita of Rav, Rava doesn't have to say that it's a machlokas amoraim. He can argue that not only Shmuel, but even Rav is going to accept his Shita with regards to Sukkah. So how is that? Because Abaye Karav. Abaye is going to stand that I'm only following Rav and I'm disagreeing with Shmuel. Fine, that's what we just mentioned. But Rava Amar Lecha, but Rava is going to say, what's Rava going to say? He's going to say, Adkan lo my Rav Hasam, that Rav only said with regards to the Lecha, with regards to Mesechas Ervin, with the walls of his Sikri Orvin. So same, only over there, El de Mechitos Achasadruhu Davide, that because that these walls are considered, they're part of the walls, they're made for the tent. The Pisik Rav Yosef was made for the tent, so therefore the walls could be part of the tent. That makes to cut off the interior is what the purpose of this tent would be, halachically. But with regards to the case of the sukkah, the walls that were made over here, there weren't even walls that were made for the sukkah at all. We're talking about a case where these porches were built and then they had the top parts of these porches, they were never made for the sukkah. So you can't say that the halacha l'mashal b'sinah of good aches, which is really a Pisik Rav Yosef, is talking about these walls going down over here because it wasn't intended for that whatsoever. So according to this understanding, according to Rava, the machlokas between him and Abaye is really the question of whether or not that the roof itself was built for this area. Can that create peace secret of the source? And that's apparently the crux of the machlokas. Abaye holds that this machitza is still going to be good, and we can say peace secret of the source, yored v'sosim, even in a situation over here where the sukkah is where it was not meant for the sukkah, and Rava holds that it's not. Apparently that's what we're assuming over here, and that's the machlokas between Abaye and Rava over here. Okay, Be'ez Hashem will pick up with Tznan, which we're going to ask a question. Abaye Shita, Be'ez Hashem in tomorrow's daf.